My name is David Hernandez, and you're listening to As the Pokeball Turns. Welcome to As the Pokeball Turns. Our journey takes us to Plano, Texas, where we meet a Pokemon trainer who started a nonprofit centered around the idea of helping provide comfort to children who are victims of abuse through Pokemon cards. Initially partnering with the Collin County Child Advocacy Center, he has branched into different parts of Texas and has even started partnering with agencies in neighboring states such as Louisiana. Thanks to a combination of his interest in the Pokemon TCG and his unique background within law enforcement, he is helping bring comfort to many children across the state. Or as his slogan better puts it, gotta help them all. Here is his origin story into the world of Pokemon. This is Cards for Kids. Today, I'm joined by the founder of Cards for Kids. Chris, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, David.
You know, your tagline's gotta help them all. And for those who are not familiar with what you're doing, can you give a brief summary of what your mission's about?
Absolutely. We collect Pokemon cards and other things from the community, and we take those items and we repackage them and distribute them to different organizations we work with. These organizations help children who are either abused, ill, or injured.
And what made you want to start something like this? Because it's a very noble cause to be able to give trading card games to these kids.
Well, that started out with me sorting through my bulk Pokemon cards and having bunches of extras and not knowing what to do with them. And anyone who's been in the TCG collecting will know that you end up with tons of extra cards, and most of them have little to no sales value if you were trying to do that on the secondary market. So I was scratching my brain trying to figure out what to do with these, and I'm a 911 dispatcher, so I was just talking to one of our detectives who works for the Plano Police Department and Collin County Child Advocacy Center, and we were discussing, you know, what they do, their mission, and they were telling me how pretty much the only thing they have for children to comfort them during these real traumatic times is stuffed animals. And of course, anyone, you know, over the age of 8 or 10 is not going to want a stuffed animal, especially preteens and teens. So I figured, hey, this will be something that I can do to get rid of the extra cards I have and hopefully put even just a little small smile on someone's face whenever they're going through something, whether it be at the hospital or if they fell out of a tree, broke their arm, or, you know, something happened at home that caused them to have to go to one of these places.
Now, just to give some context, the Collin County Child Advocacy Center, they primarily work with children who have been abused, correct?
They do counseling and they assist the police department investigations. Just like there's actually, I'd have to look at the exact number, but I believe there's 82, 83 child advocacy centers across Texas. And they all have very similar missions and ways of handling things. Like I said, assist the police departments in their investigations because children will be more open to speaking to someone who's trained as a psychologist, psychiatrist versus, you know, an officer in a uniform. So it's there to not only help them with the investigations, but also provide the children with, you know, therapy and grief counseling and the kind of tools to help them manage them going through these difficult scenarios. So like I said, while they do work with law enforcement, pretty much every child advocacy center I've gone to, all the employees are civilians though.
And it's kind of cool though to kind of see like, hey, these kids who are at a certain age don't really identify maybe well with the stuffed animals at this point. And for you to kind of see like, hey, maybe that could be done with Pokemon cards. One question I wondered, like, has there been a noticeable like relationship since starting this?
Well, one thing that then this started being, again, a 911 is, unfortunately, we don't get a lot of direct feedback, primarily, of course, because of privacy issues. You know, these are all children. You know, we're not going to get a list of like, here's all the kids who got your cards. But we have gotten some feedback from the people who run these organizations that it's already served, you know, the purpose of having something for these older kids, and that one of the most requested items they have is Pokemon in general. When they do like Christmas wish lists and stuff like that, kids almost always have Pokemon on that list.
I think that's cool to see how Pokemon can be a healing tool for kids. And the fact that, you know, you can do that with cards. I know it's still early on, but are you considering trying to branch out to give other stuff besides Pokemon cards, or just right now just strictly Pokemon cards?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we are doing. It's kind of a two-way approach. We're going to be doing some collections for agencies. Granted, since we have started early, we're getting our foot in the door with a lot of this, but there's some agencies that will do like Christmas raffles for their organizations and things like that. So we're going to be having items that we can donate to them to help them raise money for their organizations on their own. And we also have some of the items ourselves, and we're making some different craft stuff for ourselves to help raise money for our organization. Because while, of course, the cards are the majority of what we need with like any nonprofit, there's some other expenses. So that's one way we try to raise some money as well.
So you originally started with doing the Collin County Child Advocacy Center, and you've been able to branch out to other places as well, right?
Yes, that is correct. We are actually with quite a few agencies now. We are adding more pretty much weekly at this point. But as of right now, we are with 11 different organizations.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, all the way to Louisiana. I actually went to Louisiana about 3 weeks ago, and we got in with the Shriner Children's Hospital, which a lot of people, of course, are familiar with. The one there happens to primarily take care of children with prosthetics and things like that. We're also with the Scottish Rite Hospital here in Dallas. They do a similar mission as well. Both of those organizations are Masonic based, which I am myself a Master Mason, which is how I got involved with those organizations. And otherwise, we also went to the Gingerbread House, which is a child advocacy center in Shreveport. And then we went up and down the I-20 corridor, hitting numerous other places, some that are very small, such as the Children's Advocacy Center of Van Zandt County. That's in Canton, Texas. I had a long talk with their director, and because they're so isolated, they tend to get overlooked a lot when it comes to donations and any kind of positive coverage. But they are the only child advocacy center for that huge area, and they get, you know, 60, 80 cases a month of different things. You know, they need to help just as much as all the other ones, but since they're not in high population areas, they tend to get overlooked. So it was really rewarding to be able to go over to them and help them get something going for that.
How did you get connected with these places? Like, were these just places that reached out to you once they heard about what you were doing with Collin County, or are these just ones that you kind of found out that this might be beneficial?
Well, funny enough, I started, since I talked to our detective, found out what even a child advocacy center was. I went to, there's a Child Advocacy Center Texas website, and it lists all of them in Texas. So I just started emailing, Facebook, messaging, Instagramming everyone I could, getting ignored by most because they just, you know, of course, they get spammed. But now that we've added quite a few organizations, we're starting to get answers back from these people much more frequently now, mm-hmm. which, of course, helps. A lot of these organizations are starting to talk to each other. There's a child advocacy center convention in Texas multiple times throughout the year. So they've already started sharing my business card, things like that. But honestly, I've done so much reaching out myself that these people don't have the chance to reach out to me. I want to aggressively expand. I want every kid in Texas to have the opportunity to get a card, and hopefully eventually the country. I just don't know if I can scale up that high myself personally, because it does take a very long time to make these packs. But yes, it would be the goal if we could go nationwide eventually, you know, make some sort of satellite organizations in other states, whatever have you. But of course, since a lot of these organizations are nonprofits and or government related, like Collin County Child Advocacy Center, we're also with the Plano Police Department Victim Services, which that is sworn employees and civilian, and that is actually in the police department. You know, they don't tend to reach out so much as wait for donations to come in.
I was curious, you said it took a long time to make these packs. So what is the process, and how long does it take for you to kind of make these packages for these children that you're giving the cards to?
Let me tell you, I am probably doing more than I should as far as what I decided to do. But basically, I'll take all my cards, separate them out by energy type first. You know, dark, psychic, grass, etc. And then I will... It's going to get a little nerdy right now. I'm sorry.
Let's go. Hey, you're on a Pokemon podcast. We're already nerdy as it is. Go off.
But so I'll take, let's say, 5,000 cards that got donated, separate them into these piles, and I'll look and see that grass and water are the most big piles. They have the most cards in them. And then psychic, fighting, colorless, electric, fire, and then dark, metal, etc. So what I'll do is look and see how big a stacks I have and calculate how many of each one should go into packs so that I don't end up with one pack that's nothing but like grass or something. So for like instance, each pack is 50. It'll have 6 grass, 6 water, 5 psychic, 5 fighting, 5 colorless, and et cetera, et cetera. And then some trainers, some training items. And I always make sure every pack has at least one holographic card and 3 reverse holo cards because kids love things that are shiny. So I want to make sure they have something special in the pack that's not just all the same. Once I get my like 6 grass, 6 water, whatever, I make sure that each card is not the same Pokemon. So they're getting 6 different grass Pokemon, 6 different water, etc. So that whenever they open this pack, you know, it's not just the same stuff over and over or a whole bunch of one thing or the other. So they can really get a little bit of variety at least. Since, as most people know, most of these cards aren't necessarily valuable. So I do everything I can to try to increase the experience they get. For instance, I penny sleeve, for those who may not know, it's a small plastic sleeve that the cards go in to protect them. Most people tend to do that for what they call their hits or their ultra rares. I do it for anything that's holographic. So when that kid gets that, he's like, wow, this is in a little sleeve. This has got to be cool, right? To try to, you know, again, increase the value of what I'm doing. Luckily, when I'm at my job, there's some downtime and I get to do some of these projects there. I think I made about 150 packs and it took about 10 hours.
Oh my God.
But yeah, and I also include a small business card inside that's got our information on it. So if the kids ever want to follow us or if parents or anyone else thinks we might be good somewhere else, they can share our information. As well as on the back of each business card is a list of the names and states of everyone who's donated to us so far.
Really? How many states have you had donated?
We are up to 6 states now. We've had quite a few people mail us things from around the country, as well as find things on eBay or Amazon, and they'll buy it and just ship it to us.
Is it kind of humbling to kind of see how many people are getting involved in this project? Because it just started as something very small, and then it's kind of grown up.
It is extremely humbling to see not only just the outpour from people who are sharing our socials, which I've always said, if you can't do anything, if you can share us, you never know who it may reach. One really good story I have of that is we initially had a GoFundMe set up to pay for the legal fees to become an actual nonprofit, which ended up being close to $1,400 all in to get all the legal documents done. And I had told my friends and everyone I knew all over social media, please share, please share. Different Discord channels I'm in of people I know and hang out with. And I ended up getting a few very large donations from people I, of course, had no idea who they were, which made it possible for us to get our nonprofit paperwork through. And it never would have happened if people hadn't just taken a couple of seconds to share something on their social media.
And thanks to that, you know, you're on the verge of expanding and all through Pokemon, which is just kind of cool to see. You know, you talked about how it's a lot of work. You put in 10 hours for hundreds of packs, right? Yeah. What motivates you to keep doing this? Because you're not getting paid for it.
Well, honestly, the drive is if I can positively affect even one kid someday, somewhere because of what I did, it'll be worth it. You know, as corny as it sounds, it really just, you know, it goes back to, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't grow up with a lot. I started collecting Pokemon ever since I was like 13, back when it came out. Yes, that's how old I am. And
amen, bro.
And, you know, I couldn't get Pokemon very often because, of course, you know, parents would rather buy food and other things than, you know, small pieces of cardboard. So growing up, not having a whole lot, one of the things that I've always done is wanted to make sure kids don't have that same kind of issues I did.
You've been listening to As the Pokeball Turns. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Like, Pokemon was awesome. I had the Game Boy, I had all of it. And that's an interesting part of getting clean. You know, you sort of go back to where you left off, right? Mm-hmm. And I started really diving into drugs and alcohol senior year of high school, and then when I was in college, and then after college. And during that time, there was no personal growth. There was no really enjoyment of anything that actually brought me joy, right? So after I had like a month or two clean, I was like, what do I even like? What do I like to do? And Pokemon was like one of the first things that popped in my head. And it's funny because the last time I really cared about it, I was a little kid. I'm 34 now, you know, like I'm not old, but like I'm certainly, whether I like it or not, I'm an adult, right? With like adult responsibilities and stuff. Once I put the drugs down, I was like, what am I going to pick up? You know, I put this down. What am I going to pick up now? Right? I didn't think hard about it. It just felt natural. I was like, I'm going to get a Nintendo DS and I'm going to play Pokemon because that's something I remember loving.
To hear the rest of this story, listen to Trainer's Eye number 62, Overcoming Substance Abuse with Pokemon, featuring the Card Library. Now let's get back to the episode. You talked about how, you know, you grew up, you didn't have much money to be able to collect the cards you wanted. So how much experience did you have at Pokemon? Did you get a chance to play the games, or was this primarily whatever cards your parents were able to buy to you?
Well, like I said, I started back when I was about 13, pretty much in 99, right when it started hitting America. Had friends at school that did it, so I got into it. And the whole reason I initially got into it was actually to play the TCG game. I was not a collector, didn't ever go look for the rare cards. We didn't ever think for a second, hey, this Charizard I just pulled might be worth $10,000 someday. I'm just going to throw it in a bag with all the rest of mine.
All right.
So, yeah, I would go to card shops and play in little mini tournaments. Me and my friends would play. So that was, like I said, the main thing I actually did was play the trading card game. Even to this day, I have a handful of theme decks I keep just so I can pull them out and me and the wife will play a hand or two here and there. Just, you know, have some fun. No big tournaments with all the rules, just to bring back some of that nostalgia. But as far as getting cards go, it was, you know, trading on the playground. Hey, I got two Mr. Mimes. Give me your muck or whatever, just so I can have a muck because I don't need two Mr. Mimes.
You said you and your wife play the game. So what kind of decks do you have to kind of play together? And is that kind of like a date night kind of thing?
You know, she humors me and plays because she's definitely not a Pokemon fanatic. She thinks, oh, that one's cute. But as far as the decks go, we just have some, you know, literal like ones I've bought that are all pre-set up with everything in it. You just pull it out of the box and play with it. You know, nothing made, nothing changed. Just very simple, easy. Anyone can play it. But talking about my wife, I have to brag for a moment. I don't think I could have done this without her. She has been there every step of the way. She's made posts. She's drove 20, 50 miles to go pick up a donation. She's been with me at the card shows. She's helped me sort cards, which is really fun trying to do with someone who has no idea what Pokemon is. Because she's like, I don't understand. What's the difference between these two? And I'm like, I don't understand how you don't understand what the difference between those two are.
Right.
But she really has been tremendous, and she has helped me every step of the way and, you know, help contact people. And she is truly my driving force. You know, when I'm like, oh, my God, I got another huge donation. I don't think I could do this. And she's like, yes, you can. Go do it.
She motivates you.
Yes.
Or she keeps you in line, I guess.
Absolutely.
So with the trading card game now, are you mostly collecting? I know besides outside of the nonprofit, do you mostly keep a collection or do you try to play the card game still?
Yeah, at this point, I don't really play the card game. I tried not too terribly long ago, and I don't know if it was because of the store I went to or if it was a bad day, but there was no F as in fun involved in the card game. So I was like, okay, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. And now I just collect to have. I'm trying to basically revise what I had as a kid. I want all the original 151 cards eventually someday because I still only really recognize the first 151. Everything else is just kind of crazy to me. I mean, right. They made a trash bag Pokemon. That's how you know they're running out of ideas.
Fair enough.
And now I actually get really excited when I go buy a booster box and I'm like, oh, look at all these extra cards I have now. I'll make 20 packs out of that. And I have, besides Squirtle, Squirtle's the only thing that if it's a Squirtle card, I'll keep it. Even if I've got 50 of him, I'll keep it because Squirtle is life. I've got a tattoo of him and about 4 stickers on my car.
Oh, man, you are a Squirtle fanatic right here.
Squirtle squad for life.
So are you trying to collect the 151 original base set or just trying to get one card of each original Pokemon from the 151?
Ideally, the base set would be nice. I mean, unless it's like, you know, a Charizard that's basically been chewed by a dog, I don't see that happening anytime soon. But for anyone who does collect Pokemon, they'll know I got real big into the XY evolutions because they are basically the 151 cards, just redone. So I do have some of those and Celebrations as well. You know, they redid basically the original OG Charizard on that. So I have that card, which is much more affordable option, of course. So I'm not a purist in the sense that I want, you know, that. I just want at least a representation of what that was, because, again, it brings up so many childhood memories. I remember when I first completed my 151 set and my last card I ever had to get was a Koffing. For whatever reason, I could not find a Koffing. So I had to go back onto the eBay, find one, send a money order to the person to get that one little car shipped to me. Again, I'm dating myself here. That was before PayPal even existed. And get that Koffing. And I remember putting him in my little binder, and I was so ecstatic.
So I actually have a funny story about Koffing, but it's the original base set one, or fossil. You know, the first Koffing card. When I was young, we never played, but I collected the cards. I always saw the Koffing card from this guy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have that. And my naive self traded like a holographic Ninetales, Gyarados, and one other card because I thought this Koffing was so rare. Little did I know it was actually just a common.
Yeah, see, that was my problem. I would have traded pretty much anything for it, but the only person I knew who had it was my friend who would not trade it for anything. I was like, you have 7 of them. And he's like, yeah, and I want to keep 7 of them. I'm like, okay, come on. Help me out here.
Koffing was his favorite Pokemon, clearly. I guess.
I was like, come on, cough it up.
But that's just the innocent when you're a kid, right? You see the cards not as like physical value, but you see it as like an actual Pokemon in a weird way. Yeah. And that's how I saw it with Koffing. It seemed right at the time, but you know, people who know nowadays, it's what was I thinking kind of thing.
Oh yeah. My very first deck I ever made as a kid was a Vulpix Ninetales deck, which was awful, but I just loved Ninetales so much that I was determined to have a Ninetales deck.
And that was the fun part, is just like the decks weren't good when you try to play, especially those early card games, but they were just fun to just experiment with because that was kind of one of the first card games for kids, if I could say that. Because I think Magic the Gathering was more for older teenager kind of things.
Definitely more advanced as far as the rules and learning how to go, for sure.
Now, just going back to your nonprofit, what do you hope it becomes as it continues to progress?
Well, our first major milestone was actually becoming a nonprofit, an official Texas legal recognized nonprofit, because one of the issues we run into is there's actually been a couple of TCG stores that have donated to us, which these stores tend to have thousands and thousands of extra cards, not just, you know, someone in their attic who had a couple hundred of them. So these donations are very, very helpful, but being a business, they want a tax write-off. And not only that, I've discovered even basic things like PayPal, Venmo, etc. If you are an actual 501c3, they drastically slash the amount of money that they take from each donation you get. Long term would be making everyone in Texas and every law enforcement organization have access to our card packs for the kids and their communities. And then long term goal would be if we could go nationwide.
That's some big dreams right there, but I think that's something that's definitely possible. And I think if anything Pokemon's shown me is that anything is possible. You just got to put your foot out there. And I think the fact that we were able to find each other, hopefully, man, people come and gather to your mission, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. It's been amazing just in the, again, short time we've been doing this with the very limited reach I have. I mean, I personally only have, I think, 120 some of the friends on Facebook. I don't have any Instagram following, anything like that. It was pure word of mouth, pure basically begging people, please, please give me something. We've not only amassed extremely large amount of cards, more than I ever dreamed I could get at this point, but we have actually taken those cards, made packs, and distributed, actually put in the hands of these organizations, over 25,000 cards so far.
Oh my gosh. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very huge milestone when I realized that we had hit that big of a number, which has probably been more by now. Honestly, that's just the last time I counted. But still, it was just huge to me to think that not only the short amount of time, but even if I'm generous and I say 2,000 I donated out of my own personal collection, That is huge amount from complete strangers who basically, you know, I have very little to go on as far as, you know, everything can be a scam nowadays. And I've had lots of people say, how do I trust you? What, you know, and I don't blame them whatsoever. I'm skeptical just the same, which again, getting our actual Texas recognized nonprofit has helped. And I've taken pictures with all these organizations. The organizations have posted me on their social media as well. And all this has helped, you know, more legitimize what we do to help people realize, oh, well, you know, maybe this is something real and I can do something for it and help them out.
Yeah, because I was the same way, because I was like, is this guy legit or not? Because it just seems like a random profile pic and a random flyer. And then I had to do my own investigation to make sure.
Yeah, and that's the bigger, you know, we can get, even just, again, in social media, having some followers, the more legitimacy we can, you know, make to that. I plan on eventually doing some actual card-making streams on, like, TikTok or something to kind of show people the process as well. But just continuing to, you know, take pictures every time we go out somewhere. I've got some letters from these organizations saying, hey, thank you for doing this. For any of the big donors we get who are skeptical, you know, I'll give them that kind of stuff. Say, here, look, this is what we've done. And I try to use, you know, my line of work as well as a further indication of, you know, hey, I'm not going to do something illegal and stupid because I work right next to an officer. I don't really want to, you know, bring the hammer of justice down on myself.
Well, Chris, thank you for coming on the show. But before you go, if people want to get connected, if they want to kind of be a part of the mission you're doing, if they want to contribute, where can they go? By all means, please plug away.
Well, I've tried to make everything as absolutely simple as possible. So basically, the Instagram, TikTok, Discord, Twitch. Yeah, we have a Twitch. We haven't used it yet, but we have it. Even our email is just simply cards4kidstx. So if you search at Cards for Kids TX on Instagram or any of the other things, even Facebook, it's Card for Kids TX. And our Gmail is Cards for Kids TX. Our website is cards4.kids. That's it. And it'll just take you to the Facebook for now. But yeah, we've tried to make it super simple to where no matter what someone types, they'll be able to find us. Because again, that's the biggest part of not only finding new places to donate to, but also places to donate to us.
Cool beans, and I'll make sure to include links to everything he said in the description of this episode. Thank you for listening to As the Pokeball Turns. If you want to support the show, consider becoming a Patreon by either clicking the link in the description or going to patreon.com/as the Pokeball Turns. Now, if you aren't able to support the show financially, you can always support the show by sharing it with your Pokemon community, because this show wouldn't exist without listeners like you. Now, here's a sneak peek for the next episode of As the Pokeball Turns.